The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we are debunking chiropractic myths. There's been a lot of social media and or propaganda, if you will, recently about chiropractors. And I always think it's so funny when people are like, oh, real doctor. And I'm like, I am a real doctor. I'm just not a medical doctor. And so just talking about thought processes between safety and education, like what it took for me to get to where I'm at today. The thoughts on chiropractic and supplements, just all the things. So today is a chiropractic myths debunking show. And more so, when you talk about what we do as part of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, it truly is whole body wellness. When you have the opportunity, ability to get down to the root cause of your problem, that is what we desire in terms of overall health. I have never wanted to be a glorified Band-Aid to someone. I've always really, when I found, because I was in chiropractic school and kind of was like, yep, I'll be a fine chiropractor. And then I realized more like when I get to help walk along the path of getting sick people well, I was like, oh, okay, well, this is truly where my passion is. I want to be able to help people. I want to be able to restore health and healing. And chiropractic obviously is a part of it. It's just one of those aspects when you're like, hey, there's so much more to what we have the opportunity to do. But then just educating people. Once people are educated on, the type of education and whatnot, I think the best decision you can make is an educated one, and that comes to choosing your doctors too, so there really is no difference. So before we dive down deep into that, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
For today's Health in the News, we are talking unseen dangers. The new data links CT scans to 100,000 cancer cases. So this article talks a bit about the blessings and the burden of a CT scan. So in the era of medical marvels, few technologies are as celebrated or as ubiquitous as the computed tomography, also known as CT, scan. Offering rapid and detailed internal imaging, it has revolutionized diagnostics, saving countless lives. Yet beneath this technology triumphs lies a greater unease. So a groundbreaking study from 2025 study published in JAMA, so Journal of American Medical Association, Internal Medicine, has drawn a sobering conclusion. CT scans performed in the United States in 2023 could result in more than 100,000 future cancer cases, a staggering projection that may position CT as a source of up to 5% of annual U.S. cancer diagnosis. So the problem behind picture, so the context for concern, is that CT scans work by using ionizing radiation. So it's a form of energy that can damage DNA and over time potentially initiate cancer. While other medical imaging techniques like ultrasound or MRI are radiation-free, CT scans are often the first resort due to its speed and detail, especially in emergency settings. So in 2023, 93 million CT exams were performed over 61 million patients. So again, let's 93 million CT scans were performed on over 61 million patients. So that's not just one per patient. So it's an increase of more than 30% since 2007. And many were likely necessary. But as the author of this study notes, a significant portion was not. This has led to what some experts now label a public health paradox. A diagnostic tool that helps detect cancer may also be contributing to its rise. So what the study reveals, the University of California, San Francisco, so UCSF, led team analyzed 121,000 real-world CT scans from 143 hospitals across 20 states. So using the National Cancer Institute RAD modeling software, the researchers estimated the organ-specific dose of radiation and projected lifetime cancer risks of different age, sex, and scan type groups. They excluded patients in the last year of life, where cancer risk from radiation is moot, and found that even with such adjustments, 103,000 radiation-induced cancers could be expected over the coming decades. So adults bear the brunt. So 91% of projected cancers occur in adults. Children face higher per-scan risks, with infants under the age of one facing up to 20 cancers per 1,000 scans. Most common scan types causing cancers is abdominal and pelvic, which is 37 of the cases, 21 for chest, and 12 for head. Most common cancers linked to CT is lung cancer, which is 22,400 cases, colon cancer, which is 8,700, leukemia, which is 7,900, breast cancer, which is 5,700, and thyroid cancer, 7,000, half of those in children. So notably, this projection marks a tripling from a similar 2009 study driven by both increased CT use and better data on scan-related radiation exposure. So basically, the critics of the study, including respected radiologists, argue that the projections may overstate risk due to reliance on atomic bomb survival data. So I think the problem is that while a single CT scan may seem harmless, right? I'll tell you a story from a family member here shortly, but it may seem harmless because you're only in there for, you know, several minutes. The amount of radiation is incredibly high. People will come into the office and be concerned about x-rays, and I'm like, they are truly so minimal, especially because we've got new updated digital x-rays. So it is a blip versus holding that button down for 10 minutes with exponentially more radiation than just one x-ray, right? So even if I was taking that x-ray, what I would needed to get through that abdominal tissue for a CT scan, it's crazy. Compared to like, beep, like a little x-ray. So here's what they talk about. Many patients, particularly those with chronic illnesses or undergoing cancer surveillance, may accumulate radiation doses well beyond safe thresholds, including the risk of cancer induced by other like orders of magnitude. So basically, DNA breaks caused by CT radiation may go unrepaired or misread, creating the perfect storm for mutation and malignancies. So what they're literally saying is that we are causing exponentially more cancers. Now, again, there's a time and a place. I'll share a couple stories with you that I think are a little bit interesting. And so, so overuse and underregulation is a systemic issue. So one of the most troubling admissions from the medical community itself is that up to 30% of imaging exams may be unnecessary. They're ordered out of habit, fear of litigation, or diagnostic overkill, right? Quote, just to be safe. So this, quote, defensive medicine not only inflates healthcare costs, but also may actively harm patients. Moreover, older CT scans still use many in the rural and underfunded clinics, often emit higher doses, and few patients are ever actually informed of the radiation exposure and the risk to the radiation exposure. They talked about, especially in pediatrics, we need to aim to reduce unnecessary scans. Yet without mandatory dose tracking or patient disclosure laws, much of the burden still falls on an uninformed patient. Now, again, there can be other alternatives, right? So, for example, non-ionizing options like MRI or ultrasound, or when they're suitable. Here's the things that I'll tell you is that when I had given birth to my second, I couldn't breathe. And so a lot of factors went into the thoughts behind, I likely had a blood clot. And so I went into the ER. He's like, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to check to make sure there's no blood clots. We're going to do this dye that goes with it, right? Contrast. And I was like, man, that's a lot of radiation that comes with that. And he was, yep, but if you have a blood clot, it's not going to matter. And I was like, yep, right? Because of all the trauma and the birth. And again, there was a couple extenuating circumstances. I had to have multiple units of blood transfusion. And so when we went through all of that, he's like, listen, if you're about to die and throw a clot and you're either paralyzed for the rest of your life, that little bit of radiation isn't going to matter. And I was like, oof, yep, you are right. Now, similarly, more recently, I had a family member who was having some abdominal pain. And so she went into her doctor and they're like, well, now, and this family member of mine does also have a history of cancer. And so they're like, well, let's do a CT scan. Her CT scan was not abdominal. So let's start there. The pain was manageable, it was mild, it was non-emergent. So all of the like doctor CT scans, it would not necessarily warrant a CT scan. And what I thought was very interesting is they actually scheduled her for an ultrasound the next day, which would have ruled out what they were thinking and what they were looking for with the CT scan. So they did not do the CT scan to rule out any life-threatening illnesses. They just did it because she met her deductible. And they're like, perfect. Well, insurance is going to pay for it. Like, let's just see and make sure it's not anything else. But then they went in and did an ultrasound to actually look for what they were looking for, which they should have been able to see on the CT scan. But the whole thing, I was just like, goodness, you know, so they just threw this whole kitchen sink at it when I, you know, I was talking, I'm like, do you realize how much radiation? Now, again, if this is one where you're like, this is inevitably something that is a life-saving measure, and hers was not. It was just a convenience factor that they could go in and check with an absolute absurd amount of radiation. And so that's one where I truly agree with that. And the research that was shown is that, unfortunately, they need to rethink the relationship with that high amount of radiation, knowing that it is likely not like if is this life-saving is or is it not? Is this scan truly necessary? So here are some questions. If you want to become your own advocate, here are some questions. Is this scan truly necessary? Right? That's what I asked the doctor. Is this scan truly necessary? And he said, yes. And I kind of agreed with him because I also thought I had a blood clot. Will it change my treatment plan? What will it change in my treatment plan? Right? And so for that family member of mine, it did not. It did not, because they had they had a couple thoughts of what it could be. Again, non-life-threatening, and they all could have been ruled out with ultrasound. And that was scheduled before she even had her CT scan, right? Here's another question to ask. Could an MRI or ultrasound provide similar information? And last one, has the radiation dose had been adjusted for my age and my body size? This is especially if you're an advocate for your child. So I think those are ones where inevitably even one empowered conversation can shift the trajectory of your care and overall your health. And those are great, important questions that you have the opportunity and ability to ask. So be your own health advocate. Is there another way? So now when we return, more debunking chiropractic myths next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram.
Siri, how do I become a chiropractor?
Do you want to be a doctor but don't like to read books?
Yes.
Congratulations, you are now a chiropractor. Mailing certification and teeth whitening kit now.
Oh, that was easy.
Yeah, thank God. I needed a new job, and it was either this or become a family photographer.
Here's Dr. Leanne.
Just keep moving on. Just keep pushing ahead. Yeah, the new has come. All the old is dead. Just keep moving on. Keep your eyes on the prize. And that word in your heart. Yeah, we'll be all right.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we are debunking chiropractic myths. I always think it's so interesting when I have the ability to help educate someone who's truly interested and wants to learn, that we have the ability to be like, here's what we do and here's how I became to be a chiropractor. I think that's just when we kind of play that silly clip, but inevitably people think it's like this weekend degree, when in reality, it is quite a bit more than that. So I'll share kind of my journey on where it's come from. And this is not to become a licensed chiropractor in the United States. A person has to actually complete a series of academic and clinical requirements. And so one of those, right, is an undergraduate degree. Majority of chiropractic schools now require an undergraduate degree. There are some like feeder programs where you can finish up your degree while you're in chiropractic school. So you do about 3 years of undergrad, and then your last year you do chiropractic as well as finishing up your undergraduate. I had a couple of people who did it. I don't know how they did. It was super impressive. But so my major was pre-medicine and biology, a double major. I had a bachelor's in science I got from Augustana College in Rock Island, Illinois. So of those, you know, obviously from an undergraduate prerequisite standpoint, I had more than the 3 years. I had 4 years, obviously 90 semester hours, but it has to include biology, organic and general chemistry, physics, anatomy and physiology, psychology, a bunch of math courses, craziness. I remember thinking why. And so majority of states now have either grandfathered people in or moving into new ones that it is mandatory for a bachelor's degree. So I have my bachelor's in science. And so that was 4 years of undergraduate. And then I went on to my DC program, which was a doctorate of chiropractic. So this is from an accredited chiropractic college. So this is recognized by the Council of Chiropractic Education, CCE. And the DC program is 4 years. That 4 years does not include summer. If you wanted to take summers, then it would be a five-year program. Once you are in your mid to late 20s, the only thing you really want to be done with is school. So it is 4 years, no summers, which include not only basic science, anatomy, biochemistry, physiology, pathology, microbiology, public health. There is clinical science that is included in the DC program. So neurology, orthopedics, quite a bit of radiology, diagnostic, and then technique courses on how to adjust. There's hands-on training, which includes spinal adjusting, manual therapies, and rehab. And then there's an internship. We call it precepting. So that clinical internship is the trimester not semester, right? Because the summer semester trimesters are all 3 years. I'm 3 a year. So that clinical internship was our last trimester when we had that. Now once you get that 8 years of schooling, you're not quite done. So throughout, chiropractors must pass 4 parts of National Board Examiner. So it's considered NBCE. They're national board exams. Part 1 is basic science. Part 2 is clinical sciences. Part 3 is clinical competency, so diagnostic and care. And then part 4 for national board examinations is a practical exam. So it includes x-rays, physical exam, and adjustments. So, and then as well, if you do any therapies in your office, you also have to pass your PT's national board examinations. Those are ones where I think I have heard that they're getting their own. They're only offered 1 to 2 times a year. They are thousands of dollars to take. And when you go through, and rightfully so, it is one that, you know, you can't bring a key fob in there because you might hide some information on it. You can't have, you can do a water bottle, but it has to be clear and you have to take off the outside wrapping. You can't bring in your own pencil. They give you pencils. You have a seating chart. There are cameras, dozens of cameras throughout the entire thing. You sign your seating chart whenever you sit down, and then they compare your answers because obviously all the questions are in different orders. All the answers are in different orders. So say you had, I actually had a friend who they thought had cheated because his answer code, there was too many that were in the similar order of someone who sat like next to him or in front of him. So he had to like go in front of the board to be like, nope, didn't cheat. I can't remember if he had to retake one or not because they claimed he was cheating. It was wild though. And you should be, right? Like if you're a doctor, right? A doctor of chiropractic, that's one that you want to ensure your doctor didn't cheat his way through boards. Like I get it. Now, once you pass all of your national board exams, part 1 through 4, as well as PT, then you're allowed to sit through state licensure. So each state has its own licensing board with specific requirements, right? So we have obviously passing all the national board accreditation. We also have a jurisprudence exam, a state jurisprudence exam that we have to do, as well as continuing education hours for license renewal. Now, after that, you can get post-graduate certification. So obviously, like CBP or functional medicine, CBP board being more of the neuro-spinal doctors, like the structure function doctors. That's what we do in our office. That's more advanced certifications. And then obviously, before you can actually practice, once you get your state licensure, then we need malpractice insurance. And so when people are like, oh, it's just a weekend degree, you're like, no, it's not. It's actually a ton of education. They are, you know, it's one of those classrooms when you sit down the beginning part of chiropractic school, they say, look around you, look at the person in front of you, look to the person to left of you, and look to the person to right of you. Statistically, only one of you will make it by the end of this. And you're like, oh gosh, that's kind of terrifying, right? Because people don't make it through that, you know, there's specific weed out classes and people just didn't make it through. And so when you look at that, when you're like, well, I wonder what education a chiropractor has, and you're like, a lot more than you would think. Like, why did I have to go through renal physiology, like literally the anatomy and the physiology of the kidney? I had it every day for an hour a day for like 14 weeks. And you're like, although I don't treat the kidneys as a doctor, I need to be knowledgeable about the human body and what's going on, because we are often patients' primary care physicians, and it doesn't mean we prescribe. That doesn't mean that, but that's the thing. I don't, you know, when people are like, do you wish you could prescribe medication? I don't. Medicine has a time and a place, but when you look, I think another myth to debunk is people say, you're not a doctor. I'm not a medical doctor. No, I'm not. I'm a doctor of chiropractor, right? And so we're doctors of chiropractic, not doctors of medicine. And that's kind of the point. We don't prescribe drugs. We don't do surgery. We don't manage symptoms with a pill and just hope for the best. Instead, as doctors of chiropractic, what we have done is we've spent years studying the spine, studying the nervous system, which controls every cell, organ, and tissue in your body. We've spent years studying biomechanics and natural healing. We have the opportunity and ability to remove interference so your body can function better from the inside out and heal the way it was designed to. And yes, I will always take your health seriously enough to choose the road less medicated. So there's no offense taken when someone says, well, you're not a medical doctor. You're not a real doctor, because people think real doctors are medical doctors. But I'll proudly stay in my lane. I'm going to restore function, removing interference and helping people avoid the revolving doors of prescription and procedures, right? So I love being the type of doctor who helps people get off of the table and get back into their lives, restore health and healing. And although medicine has a time and a place, I think that's just one more really great myth that I get to debunk, right? Is obviously from an education standpoint, like I've had over 4,000 hours of clinical and classroom training. And so while medical doctors will often function more on pharmacology, treatment of symptoms, those are ones where we have just as many clinical and classroom training hours. It's just the way that it happens is different. What we see and what we like from a, like my very first course on my very first day of chiropractic school is embryology, ectoderm, mesoderm, endoderm, right? So those are ones where you're like, oh, you know that as a chiropractor? I sure do. Physiology, pathology, like, and we had path lab where we literally had to sit down and go through the slices of tissue to say, hey, that slice of tissue, that's bladder, and that's cardiac, and that's renal, right? Like knowing what the actual cells look like under microscope, you know, what the tissue looks like, chemistry and biochemistry, microbiology, neurology, obviously is a huge component, of course. OBs and obstetrics, obviously, medical school does more of that than us, but we do hundreds more hours in chiropractic school of x-rays and orthopedics, right, when they're looking. So it's very, very different when you look at, of course, as a chiropractor, they're good. I remember they went through, had a course with like gynecology and, you know, they had this benign hypertrophy for prostate. And I was like, quite candidly, I'm never going to be checking prostates in my office. Decade and a half in practice, I stand behind it. I still have and I still won't. Like there is a time and a place and a doctor for that. And I'm not it. But guess what? Our educational focuses are different. Our philosophies are different. And we operate on the idea that if the body's lacking something, you know, the MDs look at, hey, if the body's lacking something chemically, it'll help provide the patient through medication. And it's just a different thought process, right? And so inevitably, when you're like, hey, this is what we do as chiropractics, we're not real doctors. Sure, I'm a real doctor. Sure, carry malpractice insurance, which I made multiple ER doctors, like, just they almost died when they found out how cheap my malpractice is. And again, and being in practice for a decade and a half because of the safety and efficacy of what we do as chiropractors, you know. So we're licensed healthcare professionals and we focus on neuromuscular health, spinal biomechanics, and preventative care. And so I'm not sure what people say is a quote real doctor, but when we watch people restore their health and they get function back and they get to live their life, that's the only doctor I ever want to be. Now, one of the biggest myths to debunk is once you start chiropractic, you have to go forever. And I'll tell you more next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Lee. I'm about to have a good day. No matter what they say. Sun is shining down on me. Birds are singing praise. I'm about to have a good day. In every single way. God made the universe. Knows me by my name. So it's a good day.
when my kids get up really cranky in the morning, I play that song for them and just remind them that feet hit the floor, God's bless us with another day. It's going to be a good day. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we are debunking chiropractic myths. And I kind of like this. Gives me a little platform and people are like, oh, you know, because I hear it so often. And honestly, I will say, it since I started chiropractic school 20 years ago versus today, it is very different. Just the thought process and just behind chiropractic in general, where before it was like very voodoo science or quackery, that people who have seen the results now, you know, they share that and it really expands. And I think that's just wonderful. Now we've got some more debunking though, unfortunately. We're not quite done yet. So I think that a lot of people still are under the assumption that, you know, we just crack backs for pain relief. And obviously what often brings people into us are headaches, neck pain, and back pain. Which obviously is something that we can help with. That's what we do as chiropractors. But chiropractic care, especially techniques like chiropractic biophysics, CBP, what we utilize, which are more neurospinal chiropractic, structure function chiropractic, however you want to look at that, goes beyond just symptom relief and focuses on correcting the structure and function of the spine and nervous system. So more so in our office, we assess posture. So I think a lot of times people are terrified of getting that like big hump on their back. Oftentimes that's either one, because they have too much curve in their middle back, right? It's considered hyperkyphosis. Or they've lost the curvature in their neck, so they have way forward head posture, so like the jutted out chin. So they're over time, their shoulders start to roll forward and they get kind of that hump on their back. That is correctable. That is correctable when you find a chiropractor like what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, whose design and nature and specialized technique is to correct the structure. So when you assess posture, fixed spinal alignment allows for more nerve flow and offers long-term correction more than just pain management. I think so oftentimes people will come in to start with pain and like I have one woman who has severe lung issues. Well, we don't diagnose and we don't treat. And I said, but there's not only peer-reviewed research, but there's also just testimonies, right? Like it's hard to refute someone's personal testimony when they look and they say, hey, guess what? I can breathe better. And so she had this like kind of like strider almost when she would breathe. And it was addressed and managed through her primary care. But I always knew when she was in the office because I could hear her come in. And there was one day I had seen her and I didn't hear her breathe. And I said, oh my gosh, because one of her long-term health goals was to walk around for 20 minutes without taking a break. She wanted to go shopping on her own. And this woman is in her mid to late 30s. So young, very young. And she goes, I never would have thought that this would help my breathing the way it has. And again, we don't treat her for breathing, right? But when you talk about correcting the structure and function of the spine and nervous system, this is where you see it's far more than just pain relief. And two, the more that the research supports people, I had someone the other day who said, how come you don't have more research in terms of chiropractic, like in general? And I said, who's gonna pay for it? I don't have drug money. Right. If anything, my fees get cut in over half. Over 50% of my fees get cut in half if I accept insurance. And so we're in and out of network with different insurances. But who's going to pay someone hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars? I don't have millions of dollars to pay for chiropractic research and I don't have drug money. So no, Pepsi's not incentivizing me to do a survey to try to be like, oh my gosh, kids are getting fat because of soda. It's clearly from candy, right? And you're like, oh, weird how that study was refuted years later because there was some incentivizing for the research to come out a certain way. Like, no, I don't have that. I'm not in bed with Big Pharma. I don't have drug money. So no, we don't have all. But then you look at something as like University of Chicago Journal of Human Hypertension, 2007, did a peer-reviewed research study, found a specific adjustment to C1 lowered blood pressure better than two medications combined. And you're like, well, and that's that. Okay, so that leads me into another one. I think another myth to debunk is that chiropractors don't believe in medicine or science. And although my viewpoint is more a drug-free approach, if possible, that doesn't mean I reject science and medicine. In fact, I work with a lot alongside tons of medical professionals in terms of what to do. I'm not going to take you off blood pressure medication, you know, but if you have a really good practitioner that can manage it while you get adjusted, while you start exercising, while you start eating better, while you start, you know, making all of these wonderful changes for your health and your blood pressure goes down, and then you say, hey, I don't need this anymore. I'm not going to be the one who tells you that, but your medical doctor is. I had just a couple weeks ago, I had someone who I sent to the emergency room. She said, hey, look at my leg. I got this cut on it. And that cut was just, you know, it was a little baby cut. No big deal. But you know what was a big deal? The big red streak that went all the way up her leg, which would tell me as a practitioner that is a systemic infection, which if left untreated could take her life. And so they're like, it was a teenage girl. And she's like, she's walking around just fine. And I was like, go now. Just go. And she was like, you were right. And I was like, yeah, you know, like there's a time and a place for medicine. And they said, oh my gosh, we've been working so much on her gut health. And I said, her gut health is not going to matter if she's dead. So go do that. And then we'll fix gut health afterwards. Another patient in my office who had a port for chemotherapy, had some different symptoms. We said things might be a little bit off. Sent him in. She ended up getting admitted that day. And she was like, thank you so much for sending me there. I didn't think it was as bad as it was, right? And so it's not that we don't believe in medicine and science, but I also think that if you live a very sedentary lifestyle, if you're eating absolute junk, if you don't exercise, and we just think that we can pill away all of these symptoms, right? Like P-I-L-L, not peel, pill. Here's a pill for this. Here's a pill for that, right? We have these quick fixes. It doesn't, you know, it's just a Band-Aid. It's just a permission slip to not have a lifestyle change and let your health keep degenerating. And that's just not what we do. You know, inevitably, we've got tons of stuff for, you know, headaches, neck pain, and back pain. But when we look at just the function and what we do, our goal is a healthy human. And a healthy human doesn't mean no medicine or more science. If anything, you guys know more than anything the amount of science that I always try to integrate into what that looks like, you know? So just overall, from a health and wellness standpoint, that's one that's important to me. And that leads me into the last and final when we talk about debunking chiropractic myths is that it's not just all about supplements. And I know that some offices are different, and I will be honest and candid. We sell supplements in the office. Oh, we sell supplements in the office. I actually just ran out of kids' multivitamins, and I promised the kids I would pick it up, and I forgot it. So they usually get two, and they only got one. And I even said it when I got into the office. I said, man, I got to make sure I don't forget those kids' multivitamins. Oh, and I forgot them. Dang. But that's a lead-in because I take them, my kids take them, my husband takes them, my family takes them, I mail them to my family because I know the quality and efficacious nature of what I have there. And so it's not a replacement of those things, but sometimes we just need a little bit more, and it is very helpful. So just that aspect when we look at, you know, my mom saw a chiropractor and he was a great guy. And I got adjusted a couple times, but she did. She walked out with like $300 or $400 worth of supplements every time she went in, and she would only take them for like a week and then would forget. And so she had this big cabinet full of things. They can be a facilitator. It's not a necessity, right? So yes, I always tell people in my office, you're going to come in and say, do you think I need to be adjusted for the rest of my life? Oh, that leads me into the next one. Here's my next debunking myth. So the last one wasn't my last one. This probably is my last one. Don't get adjusted once, or you got to get adjusted for the rest of your life. And I just can't ever wrap my head around that. When you're like, if you never brush your teeth and you could get adjusted, you could brush your teeth once, would it be worth it? And you're like, yeah. And you're like, but what if you brush your teeth once and or like don't exercise, right? Don't go to the gym, because if you go to the gym, you might feel better. And then you might want to exercise more than once. Like you might feel so good, you want to exercise for the rest of your life. Don't do it. Don't start exercising. You're like, what? Like, don't eat a salad. You might have like a lot of energy, great bowel movements, feel more refreshed after that salad because you didn't have like a bunch of crap. So don't have one salad because you might feel good. And then you might want salads for the rest of your life. Who would do that? And you're like, oh, but what? So no, number one, that's your choice. Health is your choice. What you put in your mouth today, whether you choose that cheesy gordita crunch or a salad, you made that choice. Health is your choice. You chose to sleep in instead of working out. That's your health. Health is your choice. You want to get adjusted to prevent deterioration and degeneration. That's health. Health is your choice, right? You have that. And so there's a misunderstanding between corrective and maintenance. Sometimes people want to just come in when they're in pain. That's more corrective. Correct the cause. Maintenance is prevention. I don't have any cavities right now. I went to the dentist a couple weeks ago, but guess what? I still brush my teeth because it's preventative maintenance. I choose preventative maintenance. I teach preventative maintenance. Doesn't mean it's for everyone, and that's okay, right? Because we'll always love you and we'll always welcome you and we'll always respect the decision you choose to make for your health. But in my office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, we choose health, we choose life, we choose longevity, we choose vitality, we choose preventative maintenance, and that is what we do in terms of healthcare. We choose the safest, drug-free, non-invasive form of healthcare. And that's what we do. And so when you talk about the safety and efficacious nature of chiropractic, the education that we have in order to serve our community, the continuing education hours that we get to continue to keep serving, those are ones. Growing up, I never wanted to be a chiropractor. I never thought I was going to be a chiropractor. Hell, I was halfway through school and I still was like, do I want to be a chiropractor? You know, like, and then I found more than just headaches, neck pain, and back pain. I found that we can help restore and let people get back to the life they choose and want to live, feel better, function better, but because they want to, not because they have to. And that is what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. Again, that's 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. to schedule your initial exam and consultation. So if you say, hey, I want someone to help me feel better, to function better, to heal better, to do all of these things better, that is inevitably our goal at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. So thanks for tuning in. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.